The Sefer names through Parsha Framshir. For Parsha's Dvarim, we'll look at the Sefer Chavos Yair by Rav Yair Bakrak, who lived from 1639 until 1702. The phrase Chavos Yair comes up in the Parsha in Parag Gimel, Pasuk Yudalid, where it says Yair ben Menashe, Lakach kol chevel argov ad gavul hagishuri v'amakasi, leikra osam al shmo, esabashan Chavos Yair ad hayom hazeh. Yair son of Menashe took the entire region of the royal palace until a certain border. He named them after the villages of Yair until this very day. So Yair Chaim ben Moshe Shimshon Bakrak, the family named Bakrak because he came from a town in Germany called Bakrak near the Rhine River. He grew up in Leipzig, Germany, then moved to Worms and Mainz, also in Germany. His yichus was very pristine. His grandmother was a granddaughter of the Maharal Prague. Now, unfortunately, in 1689, Worms, the community that his father and grandfather both were the Rav of, was destroyed by the French during the 9 Years' War. But in 1699, after it was rebuilt, he was appointed the Rav, but he was only there for 3 years until 1702, when he passed away. The Chavos Yair, Shalos and Tshuvos, were first published in 1699. Its title references his grandmother Chava, as we'll see. He also wrote the Sefer Mekor Chaim, which he intended to be a main commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, but he withdrew it once it was discovered that the Taz, the Magen Avraham, had put out similar commentaries. But the Mekor Chaim is still a major source of Minhagim. He also compiled a 46-volume encyclopedia called Ya'ir Nesiv, which was never published. It's just in manuscript form on all types of different topics. So his Shalos and Tshuvos, Chavos Ya'ir, have 238 tshuvos. He also has another set of Shalos and Tshuvos called Chud HaShani, which is 97 tshuvos, which include responsa by his grandfather and his father, and that's actually why he called it Chud HaShani, as it's responsa from his two closest individuals, his father and grandfather. Now, he called his other sefer Chavos Yair because he wanted it to be placed along with many other Shalos and Tshuvos from Gedoli Olam, like a village. Also, he notes that Chavos is a Lashon of Chios, like Chava, referring to his grandmother, the descendant of the Maharal Prague. Also, his name is Ya'ir Chaim. But when he was first born, they called him Chaim. So Chaim, Chavos. There's also a remez in the title, as he counted that altogether he had put out not less than 635 tshuvos, which is the gematria of Chavos Yair. Now, unfortunately, I guess we don't have all of those, but that's the Chavos Yair. Now, this is not the first time the phrase Chavos Yair comes up in the Torah. It actually comes up in Parshas Matos, where the Torah says, V'yair ben Menashe, halach v'yilkod es chavoseihem, v'yikra esen Chavos Yair. The Yair, son of Menashe, captured villages, and they were renamed Chavos Yair. So Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz quotes from his Rebbe, Reb Silver, that you can actually bring a proof from here that when one has two Hebrew names, let's say your name is Chaim David, it's not like your name is Chaim and then David your second name. Chaim David is a combined name. And that would be different with someone who had their name, let's say, be Chaim Yosef. And therefore, he paskin that someone whose name, let's say, is Yitzchak Isaac can have a child, Avraham Yitzchak. As the name Yitzchak Isaac, Yitzchak is not the name. It's Yitzchak Isaac in combination. And he proves this from the fact that when Ya'ir names a village after himself, he calls it Chavos Ya'ir. In contrast, the very next pasuk in Parshas Matos, in Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Mem Beis, the pasuk says that Nobach captured Kenas and called it Nobach Bishmo, after his name. So it only says Bishmo after Nobach. It doesn't say Bishmo after Ya'ir. So it must be that by Nobach, since he named the city Nobach, his exact name, that's the only time when it's really considered to be named after him. But if Ya'ir's name was Ya'ir, but he named his city Chavos Ya'ir, that's not Bishmo. Because when you add an additional name, that changes the name to a new name. And the Divrei Yotziv in a Tshuva, the Kleisenberger, says, therefore, when one adds a name to a chole, lo aleinu, the old name is not being kept at all. So if his name is Yaakov and now it's Yaakov Raphael, there's a new name called Yaakov Raphael, and that new combination is a very much new name independent from the old name. So we'll quote six different teachings from the Chavos Yair. The first one's very interesting. We usually think that dikduk and nekudos are to be emphasized. So Rabbeinu Bachai, actually says that don't think nekudos and diktuk are a small matter, as there are deep meanings behind every nekuda. If someone messes up even one nekuda, a patach and a kamatz, he's destroying a world. Well, if that's really true, why don't we focus more on diktuk and nekudos? So the Nodi Behuda was asked a question about diktuk. The Chavos Yair was asked a question about diktuk. So the Nodi Behuda says he doesn't involve himself in those type of questions. The Chavos Yair says a person has to know the basic rules, but it's not something that a person should be focusing on deeply. The Chavos Yair quotes from Tash Beitz that a person can still be a Talmud Chacham if he doesn't know diktuk. So while it's important, it seems like there are other areas that are more important. Number two, the Chavos Yair in a tshuva in Siman Ayin says that when one turns 70, he should make a party and recite Shechiyanu since he's reached his full lifespan. We know that Yemei Adam is Shivim Shana, and the Gemara Moed Katan on Daf Chav Ches says that when you reach 70, you reached old age. However, the Shas Jivas Arugas HaBosem says you should not make a party when turning 70, as the Mishnah in Avo says that you have to realize where you eventually will be, and then you'll give a reckoning for all your deeds. So if you've approached the end of your life, it's not an occasion to rejoice, but rather to be fearful. The Makor Chesed on Sefer Hasidim says there might be another source for making a party when turning 70, and that's the Yerushalmi and Yevamos. The Yerushalmi says that once every 60 or 70 years, Hashem causes destruction in the world that kills the wicked and also some righteous, in order that the sins of the wicked can be concealed. So therefore, if one's lived 70 years, presumably he's lived through one of those destruction periods and not been killed, which is a reason to rejoice. Number three, there's a big debate about saying L'shem Yichud before Sfiras HaOmer, very well-known tshuva of the Nodi Behuda. The Chavos Yair, when asked about this, very simply responded, he doesn't know anything about Kabbalistic things. Now clearly he did. He wrote many responsa, his encyclopedia was discussing many Kabbalistic topics, but he didn't feel it was appropriate to address a Kabbalistic topic of saying L'shem Yichud and what it could do metaphysically in his Sefer Chavos Yair. Number four, the question is about being responsible for damage when one damages something on Purim. So the Prima Gadim says that if you're experiencing Simchas Purim and you damage, you're not liable for that damage. Why? Because you're like an ones. You're not responsible for damages. Ones means that it was uncontrollable. So that seems to be troubling, because the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat paskins that you're liable for damages even when you're an ones. So why would an ones help? So the Chavos Yair says that the pshat in one who's an ones is that he's only liable for damages if you're an ones on someone else's property. But if you're an ones and you damage someone else's item in your own property, you're not liable. So Chavos Yair says, that's why the Gemara Baba Kama says that one who runs on Erev Shabbos during Bein HaShemashos and damages is Pater, as since he had permission to be running, we view it as if he was running in his own Rishus, in his own property. And therefore, Ones is really a Pater. And therefore, said the Chavos Yair, similarly, perhaps since one has permission to engage in Simchas Purim, even if you get a little wild, it's as if those activities are done in one's own property, and therefore ones is a real patur. But that leads the Chavos Yair to a general topic, is what about when I damage someone while I'm involved in another mitzvah? Like we mentioned, you're running on Erev Shabbos, and you cause damage, you're patur. So the question is, he had a case, he was discussed, where a Jew was running to do Kiddush Levana with a large group, and he caused damage. The Jew felt he was patur since he was running to a mitzvah. So that's similar to the man running on Erev Shabbos. The Chavos Yair says you can't compare. Because by the case of Erev Shabbos, the patur is because you're pressed for time. Meaning you might miss the opportunity to get to shul in time. By Kiddush Levana, yes, certainly it's better to say it in a large group. You can even say it privately. And therefore you didn't have rishus, you didn't have permission to run, and therefore you are liable for that damage. Similarly, the Beis Yosef writes that if you're running to shul to make a minyan or to a base measure to learn and you damage, you're liable, as you didn't have the same hechrich as you did when it came to running on Erev Shabbos to catch a minyan. Number six, the Chavos Yair writes, very well-known topic, of Amir al-Akam on Shabbos. So the Bir Halacha says that the Shulchan Aruch says that you can't say before Shabbos to a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos. Chassam Sofer says, but Amira da Amira is mutter. I mean, the Chassam Sofer was asked about whether after a war in Russia, many houses were destroyed, people needed homes to live in, whether the builders could work on Shabbos in order to build the houses to get them ready before the winter. Chaim Sofer says, if you're asking a guy, who's then a contractor, who's then going to ask one of his workers to do it, that's amira da amira, and therefore, it would be mutter. And the Chavos Yair agrees to this, and says that we see a trend, that the Rabbanan did not make a gzeira on something which is one step removed indirect. He brings several examples. First of all, we have a concept in Yoredeya called nat bar nat dehatera, which means that even though it's usher to cook a food in a treif pot, if the taste of the treif food gets absorbed in the pot, that's stage one, then the taste is transferred from the pot to the food being cooked, that's double step. And therefore, it's too indirect. Another halacha, there's an opinion that one cannot castrate an animal. So, some say that you can't even give your animal to a non-Jew if you know that non-Jew will castrate the animal. However, even that opinion agrees that you can give your animal to a non-Jew who will then give it to another non-Jew to castrate. Chaim Sofer writes that this machlokis, though, is only when the second guy doesn't realize that he's doing the work for a Jew. Because if he does, then you've basically cut out the middleman. So the Chavos Yair is lenient on the concept of amira da amira. How do we paskin on this? So the Bir Halacha is machmir and said we should not rely on amira da amira, but the Mishnah Berurah paskins that behefseg gadol, like maybe in the case of the Chasam Sofer, where people need to be in homes and therefore amira da amira could help solve that. Anytime there's a hefseg gadol, we can rely on the Chavos Yair and the Chasam Sofer and be lenient on Amira da Amira la'akum in Shabbos. That's a little bit about the background of the Chavos Yair, Rav Yair Bachrach, and several of his amazing teachings in his Sefer Chavos Yair.